Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Why do Americans have so much stuff? How much stuff do we really need? And what is this doing to our overall well-being and the planet? Today's guest, filmmaker Kate Schermerhorn, explores these questions in her new documentary, Do I Need This? Here is how Kate Schermerhorn begins her film.
Most American children arrive into the world already owning many times their body weight in goods. And before long, they're fully trained to fill their homes with stuff. It's no wonder the average American home contains 300,000 objects. Would we own a little less if we thought a little more?
This is a clip from the new documentary, Do I Need This? That is Kate Schermerhorn in the documentary. Overconsumption gets a lot of attention, but what makes Kate's film different is its personal touch. She turns the camera on herself and her family. Kate is really honest about her own struggle to get rid of her stuff, especially her parents' mementos. We watch as her parents try to get rid of 20 years of stuff after moving to an assisted living facility. We also watch as her mom struggles with dementia. It's a story so many of us have experienced or will eventually experience. Do I Need This? Is the opening night film at the Green Film Festival of San Francisco. It's screening tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco at 8 p.m. You can also watch the film online during the festival, which runs from tomorrow through April 24th. Joining us is Kate Schermerhorn, an Emmy-winning director and still photographer. Kate directed and stars in Do I Need This? Her last documentary, After Happily Ever After, which is about modern marriage, won several awards. Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for joining us and making this important film.
Thank you for having me.
I have to say, I did not expect the personal touch, and it really got me at the end because I recently helped a loved one go through a pretty difficult health issue and then move after 45 years in a home. I really thought it was going to be interviews with professors and artists, which is great, which you do, but you really threw in the personal touch, and you were so honest about how you struggled, what you were dealing with your family. How did that all unfold?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for throwing you for a loop there, because it does start out a little bit differently.
I loved how you did it.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, originally, I never had any intention of including myself in the film. I felt like I've always been interested in the way Americans in particular consume. And I had been working on a photo project called Useless Objects, where I would buy things that I considered useless objects, like hot dog cookers or light up slippers, things from the SkyMall catalog. And I would buy them and then return them with notes, which I say in the film. Like the hot dog cooker, I said, why would I buy this ridiculous hot dog cooker when I own a frying pan? And so I was thinking about, well, other people don't return these items after they photograph them. They live with them. And I was really thinking, you know, about how those hot dog cookers and just the single use items were overtaking people's homes. And so it sort of started with that idea of like looking at the way other people consume that I don't. And then I quickly realized that was just completely hypocritical on my part, I don't buy those things, but I buy other things, and my house is as full as anybody's or more. And so, I thought I would just include myself in a sort of light way dealing with my garage. But as my parents decided to downsize, everything changed for me. And then I became extremely attached to their possessions. And that's when it got much deeper and more personal.
I also really appreciated that, because the numbers are fascinating to think that the average American home has 300,000 items. And at first I thought, wait, that can't be right. But then you start counting things and things add up. And so the numbers are interesting. The statistics are interesting. But I really appreciated the personal part of all of this, that we have connections to things. In your case, something from your ex-husband, your children's things, your parents' things. And so can you talk about that? Did you also plan to really look at the personal aspect of this issue when you started this project?
Well, in terms of the items that you're talking about from my ex-husband, I was with a personal organizer who I brought in. I thought she would be interesting to add to the film, and she came to my house to help me. And I just thought it would be kind of a fun scene to watch, you know, how this is, that's a pretty big industry, the organizing industry. I thought it would be fun for people to watch. And I never expected to touch something that was from my ex-husband and, you know, have a really emotional reaction to it. So I was upset during the filming, because I hate it when people, I hate when somebody makes you cry on film. So that was frustrating for me. But I mean, we infuse objects with meaning. And that just became more and more clear while I was making the film and while I was helping my parents downsize, that, you know, once those things come into your house, that's one thing. But then getting rid of them becomes so hard, not just for practical reasons, but because we've infused meaning into all of this stuff in our lives, and particularly with emotional connections with your children or your parents or your loved ones.
Exactly. And the personal connection is so deep. And it's so interesting when you think about generations, for example, like your parents lived in this home for 20 years. I have a loved one who just moved after 45 years. You can imagine all this stuff that accumulates after that much time. And then we have a connection to it, and then we end up putting it maybe out or maybe in a box. I mean, we'll talk about the organizers in a minute, but I was also struck when you spoke with a man who owns a moving company, and he talked about how people rent places to put their stuff, and yet they forget about it for years, and then someone else has to eventually deal with it. Those storage sheds.
Yeah, the storage industry is enormous. I think it's it was a $4 trillion industry in 2020 in the U.S., according to the U.S. Census. And people put, so it's just massive. And during the pandemic, it grew even more, because, you know, the pandemic was a whole thing in itself, where people were living, you know, confined to their homes with all of this stuff. And suddenly it felt bad to be in the house. And they wanted to get rid of it. Of course, Goodwill was closed, so that created a problem. But with the storage, the mover you're talking about, he also wrote, his name is Finn Murphy, and he wrote a book called The Long Haul. And he had so much insight into the way that Americans consume. And he talked about how people for decades, pay for this storage unit, keep it, and think, oh, I'm keeping this for the day when my children will want this stuff. And then eventually they die and the children go into the storage unit and they just say, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away. I don't want any of this stuff that my family member has been keeping for decades and paying how many $1,000s for, each year.
Then talking about the organizer, I did not know that this was such a major industry until I started helping a loved one move after 45 years. I got so frustrated and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I've got to maybe hire someone. So I made phone calls and then I just wanted to learn more about it. And people are charging up to $150 an hour. And some of the places I called back in December were booked until June. They said they cannot keep up with the demand.
Yeah, I heard that during the pandemic, it just got completely out of control. Did it work for you, by the way?
My loved one and I did not want to spend $150 an hour. And I just felt like she's not going to work with someone. She just didn't want to. She doesn't want to part with all this stuff. So I had to deal with it. It can be really, really frustrating and a very frustrating experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in my case, with the organizer who I brought in with the film, she was wonderful, but I didn't let go of things because, she was there with me because it's, you know, you just have to do it yourself. You know, it's just impossible for somebody to come in. That was another thing. I interviewed somebody named Randy Frost. He's a professor at Smith University, and he wrote a book called Stuff. It's about compulsive hoarding. And he talks about how for people, especially with a hoarding disorder, it feels like if you try to get rid of something of theirs without their permission in particular, they feel like they're losing a piece of themselves. It's like, you're taking away my arm because you're giving, you know, you're taking my stuff. That's somebody with a serious hoarding disorder. But he also talks about how we're all on this spectrum somewhere. You know, there are hoarders who are, you know, can a real hoarder. And then there are people like me, for example, who, you know, I'm on that spectrum somewhere of it really hurts to get rid of something that I'm emotionally attached to.
What did you learn about that aspect of this, given your experience and the people that you interviewed, about where this comes from to be so emotionally attached to things?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, the stuff coming into the house before the attachment, I spoke to a writer named Peter Wybro, and he talked about
You know, I actually have notes from Peter Wybro. That was really interesting. So he said that we want everything as quickly as we can get it. And when you succeed, you get a sense of pleasure and then you want to do it again. And so it feels like we're surrounded by abundance. And when you think about how so many people went online under COVID, it's just package after package arriving every week, if not more frequently.
Right. He talks about the dopamine you get. And then with the online shopping, it's not just the dopamine you get from clicking buy. You get a second shot of it when it arrives at your door. And during COVID, it was almost like those packages became like your only friend. The doorbell would ring and there you'd have a package because nobody was coming to your door. So people were getting that little shot of dopamine, you know, during COVID from all of that buying, which really expanded during the pandemic.
Well, I'd love to give the phone number out and ask those of you who are listening right now, what are your thoughts on this issue? Do you have connections to stuff? When you look around at the stuff you have you been able to get rid of things? How have you gone about it? We'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And have you gone through the experience of either downsizing, getting rid of things, maybe helping loved ones get rid of things? What has that experience been like for you? You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at Your Call Radio. Kate Skemmerhorn is an Emmy Award-winning director and still photography. She directed and is featured in Do I Need This? It is a new documentary that looks at how all of this stuff is affecting our overall well-being and why do we have personal connections to things. Kate, how do we talk to people like this in a compassionate way? Because, you know, when you're in the thick of it, and let's say it's like a month or two, maybe 4 month process, it is really hard to be compassionate after a while. But when you're talking about someone like a hoarder, for example, how do you talk to people about this without feeling like you're attacking them or feeling critical?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know that you can actually, I'm not sure how much you can do. It really has to come from the person themselves. But I mean, I would say that You know, the reality is that this stuff is not necessarily making our life not. It's very likely not making our lives happier. It's negatively impacting our lives. So, you know, there was a UCLA study that found a direct link between stress and anxiety and clutter. You know, it really is hurting our lives. And also, of course, I think most of us know now that experience brings us more happiness than objects. So that was, you know, where I went with my things was really realizing as my parents were aging that I would be much better served spending time with them than dealing with the stuff.
How did you finally embrace that?
I think I just, in my case, I just kept taking more and more of my parents' things into my house, into a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I was getting rid of my old stuff. I had lived overseas. I lived in London for a long time. And during my 7 years in London, I had a storage unit in Los Angeles that was also full of stuff because my grandmother and my grandfather had both died before I moved to England. And so when I came back to this country, I had a storage unit, just like Finn Murphy talks about. I had an entire house worth of possessions in London. And, you know, it's just endless. You have to, and so you're so overwhelmed with it. It's just not, you know, I reached a point then after I already had all that stuff. And then I had to get rid of some of that only to make room for the things I was bringing from my parents' house. I mean, it was ridiculous, obviously. And it just got to a tipping point where I couldn't take another thing.
And we're not talking about you just taking carloads because your parents lived in Washington State. You live in Marin. And so you had a truck actually deliver their stuff to your home.
I did. And I also had a 40-foot container arrive at my home in San Francisco when I moved to San Francisco from London. So before that, and then I moved to Marin. So yeah, no, I'm talking like large quantities of stuff. I mean, they were downsizing from a pretty big house into a, you know, 1300 square foot assisted living facility in San Francisco. And then they brought so much of their own stuff to that that little apartment that my mother, who at that point was suffering from, you know, starting to suffer from a bit of dementia, she didn't like all the stuff. She felt overwhelmed by it and talked about that.
Right. And then because there was just so much stuff around your mom, and then they decided to actually leave that facility and go into a new home. And it was more comfortable, it seemed, for her at that point.
Yeah, I think, well, that's a topic I didn't touch on in the film, but of course, assisted living isn't always easy for people. And so I think they were both more comfortable not having the rules of an assisted living facility and probably not feeling as old as you do when you're in assisted living.
Right. Today, we are speaking with Kate Skirmerhorn, an Emmy-winning director and still photographer, about her new documentary, Do I Need This? It is the opening night film at the Green Film Festival of San Francisco, screening tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco at 8 p.m. You can also watch the film online during the festival, which runs from tomorrow through April 24th. And huge thanks to the Green Film Fest for making these films available online so everyone can watch them. And you can find a link at yourcallradio.org. If you'd like to talk about this issue, if you have downsized, if you have a lot of stuff and you're struggling to get rid of it, if you've had to help loved ones, we've all gone through this or will eventually go through it. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We have a number of callers on the line, so let's hear from Ruby in Mill Valley. Hi, Ruby. Nice to hear from you.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Rose, it really resonated when you said grandparents. My garage is filled with my husband's grandparents' things. We're talking about coin collections from the 1800s in Europe. We're talking his crib that was made for him by hand in Croatia. And I can't get him to part with it. Mm. And I understand all that. We also have boxes and boxes of documents. And I'm ruthless about stuff. I've hired organizers in the past, and one of them was in the office, my office and his office. We were doing this stuff, going through files, and I said, look, just look for photos and documents, legal kind of documents, and throw everything else away. All my clippings, anything that would mean something to a child, which we don't have. So the penultimate for me was my baby shoes. They're bronzed. I was born in 45, and everybody bronzed their baby shoes. They were moldy, and my husband wanted to keep them. No. So my cautionary tale is, if you hire an organizer and she's good, and we had a good one, she was $90 an hour. This was 5 years ago. She explained to my husband the glue and the dust in the boxes is very detrimental to your health. It's very toxic. So keeping all that stuff is really dangerous for you. And I try that. I use that every day. If something comes in a box, I immediately flatten it and get it out. OHIO, only handle it once.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Ruby. I'm sure so many people can relate. And, you know, that's the other interesting question, Kate. A lot of people hand the stuff down to their kids or keep it and know that their kids are one day going to deal with it. But if you don't have kids, what about all this stuff?
Yeah, that's something I have definitely thought about. I mean, it's also a burden you're handing down to your kids, too. That's what I worry about having kids. I think I don't want to give, you know, I don't want this to be their burden one day. But I want to mention those bronzing the baby shoes, because a piece that didn't make it into the film that I really wanted in the film was my brother was trying to help me. Like, everybody tried to help me clear out my house at one point or another. And my brother was there, and in my garage, I had his baby shoes. And I said, don't you want these? You need to keep these. And he said, what am I going to do with them? And I said, well, you could bronze them. I guess that's not really done anymore. Anyway, I think he threw them away. But yeah, it's hard with your kids. And also, what the caller was talking about, it's like, almost like we think that there's going to be buried treasure in there. So her husband probably doesn't just want to get rid of those things, because he wants to go through each of them and find the buried treasure that could be in those boxes.
Well, and also, Ruby, your call just got me thinking. There's a big difference between, you know, your baby shoes or grandma and grandpa's precious items and owning, you know, three sets of plates. That's the other thing, Kate, is that because stuff is so cheap now, people have so much stuff that they just don't need. And there's such a difference between stuff that you don't even know is in the closet versus something that did mean something to your grandmother. Because even if you see it once every 3 years, you might have a nice memory. But when you pass those, you know, five cake plates, it means nothing. So there is a difference.
Yeah, well, we're living with more stuff than we've ever had in the history of the planet right now.
Right.
And I definitely see that there's a huge difference between, you know, you can go to Target and buy something that is, you know, has no value. And I don't know, will those things have a sentimental value to somebody later? I don't know. But also something interesting about those old things that belong to your grandparents, a lot of younger people don't want them anymore. They're just not the style. And, you know, so one of the people I talked to in the film, Laverne Wimberly, who's this wonderful woman in Tulsa who has a collection of hats and clothing, but she also talks about passing down her items, and that younger generations just don't want those old pieces of china and crystal and that kind of stuff.
Well, thanks so much for the call, Ruby, and so nice to hear from you. Let's go next to Stefan in San Francisco. Hi, Stefan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for taking my call. I have kind of a question about what to do with personal things. So my parents passed away in 2015, and my sister and brother inherited some things, which are nice and all that, furniture and so on, china. That's not a problem. But what the problem is that my parents never threw anything out, especially from their early days when they were writing each other letters. My father was in Germany. My mother was here in New York. And I have all those letters. And I have also old photo albums, my mother's photo album of her growing up, her father's photo album. So these are like really old photos. They mean nothing to anyone else except the family, and really, and even the family, really only me. Hmm. And unfortunately, I guess, I have a condo here in San Francisco that does not have a garage. So it's got a whole subfloor basement of just storage. And so they're all sitting there nicely out of view. But what do I do? Basically, what I'm asking is, what do I do with those personal things, letters and things? I'm trying to think of like an art project or something that I can do that does something creative with them, rather than just sort of throwing them out. Because, you know, they have, I think if I were to read all those things, I might find some interesting insights, or they could be made into a story. But I don't know what to do with these kind of really personal things.
This is such a great question. Kate, any tips for Stefan?
Yeah, that is a dilemma. I would say, I mean, first of all, if I were you, I would digitize everything if you don't want to have it collecting dust and in a, you know, in your storage space. Another thing that I'm trying to implement in my life is only keeping things that I really am going to use. I'm not going to, you know, or I'm going to look at, or they're going to benefit my life in some way, and part with those things that are not. There's this sort of trend, this Swedish death cleanse, it's called, where you go through your house and you think about, you know, how these things are benefiting your life and how they might be of benefit to whoever you're leaving them to, whether it's your children or something else. And if they don't fit the criteria of bringing, you know, benefit to you now or to somebody later, to let go of them in preparation for the end of our lives, which will eventually come.
Right. Gosh, it's such a tough one. Stefan, just thinking about those amazing things you have, mementos, important things. And yeah, what do you do with that? I think this is something we're all going to eventually grapple with if we haven't already. Well, thank you so much for the call, Stefan. Let's go next to Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. My mom used to say, in every couple, there's an accumulator and a thrower-outer. So that's new wisdom. I wanted to tell you a story about when I lived in Louisiana. I worked with a lady who'd been through Hurricane Betsy, and she, what she said about that was, from Hurricane Betsy, I realized how little material things mean, because she lost everything. Another point I wanted to make is that I think there's a big difference between secondhand things, handed down things, and buying new things. You know, as far as like, this is from the Green Film Festival. If you just get something from Goodwill or someone gives you something, you know, that's different than buying something new that comes in that horrible box and, you know, all the Amazon gas mileage and all that stuff. I don't know. That's about it. I had a friend who was a terrible hoarder. We were helping her pack up to move, and I took the job of taking all her old newspapers, I mean, you know, like Walgreens sales sheets and stuff, and throwing them in these huge bags to bring to the dump, and she put them in the U-Haul and took them with her to a new house. So,
oh, wow.
That's pretty sad.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Judy. You brought up some great points there. We'll touch on two of them, one before break. Judy's family member lost everything in a hurricane. And, Kate, you spoke to a woman who lost everything in one of the many fires that we've sadly had to deal with in California. So many people have lost everything over the last, well, just thinking about the last few years. So what stood out for you in those interviews?
Yeah, the woman I spoke with, when she lost her home, and she did have a few minutes to grab some things. And she talked about how she went around her house and she just didn't know what to take. And she kept looking at things and saying, no, that's not the most important thing. I have to take something else. I don't know what, you know, and didn't know what to grab. So in the end, she didn't really grab anything. And she did come away with a similar feeling to Judy's relative, that You know, it was family, it was the people that mattered the most, and they would rebuild. But of course, she was absolutely heartbroken, devastated, losing her home. And she really had collected a lot, but she came away feeling like it was the family and the people that mattered. Hmm.
Well, thank you for the call, Judy. We're going to take a quick break, but after the call, we will talk about hoarding. We have a couple of emails from people who have a question about that, and then we'll play another clip from Do I Need This? It's a great documentary that looks at all the stuff that we have. What is all this stuff doing to our overall well-being and, of course, the planet? Kate Skirmerhorn is an Emmy-winning director and still photographer. Kate directed and stars in Do I Need This? It's the opening night film at the Green Film Festival of San Francisco, screening tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater at 8 p.m. You can also watch the film online during the festival. It runs from tomorrow through April 24th. Find a link to get a ticket at yourcallradio.org. You can also learn more about Kate's work there. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will continue talking about the San Francisco Green Film Festival. We'll discuss Keystone. It's a documentary about bison. The near extinction of bison has altered North America's delicate ecosystem, affecting all inhabitants. What happens when bison are restored to tribal lands? So many amazing films at this year's Green Film Festival of San Francisco. Huge thanks to the organizers. Today we're talking about Do I Need This with director Kate Skirmerhorn. You can see the film. It's the opening night film tomorrow night at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco. We're so glad that the Roxy Theater is still around after COVID. You can also watch the film online during the festival. It runs from tomorrow through April 24th. We were actually going to add another element to this show, but because we're getting so many emails and phone calls, we're going to spend the rest of the hour on the film, and we're going to talk with Oxfam about their new report, which is connected to what we're discussing today on another show. They found that the carbon emissions of the richest 1% are more than double the emissions of the poorest half of humanity. Just a quick question on that, Kate. Because the issue around consumption is so important and gets so much attention, I feel like the camera goes to, you know, the huge Costco shopping cart and Target, which is really important for sure. But as important is the fact that the richest 1% are emitting more than double the emissions of the poorest half of humanity. And what we don't focus on are the private jets and the five houses that people live in maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah, I guess I was aiming the film at sort of the every person shopper and right. and trying to make it. I mean, I think I started this film as I described it as a sugar-coated environmental film. I didn't want to make a film that's preaching to the converted or looking at things that don't impact everybody's everybody on a daily basis. So if we could all make little changes in our lives for our own personal benefit on a daily basis, then my hope is that we can make more of a planet, more of a change on the planet as a whole, you know, through sort of for selfish reasons, really. But that was my intent with the film, was to sugarcoat this topic of how we consume and hope that people came away feeling like they needed to make some changes in their own lives, like I try to do. Like your last caller actually talked about the difference between Judy talked about the difference between buying new things, shiny new things with all the packaging, and secondhand things. There is a difference there in terms of, you know, impact. But it's still, of course, impacting our lives. But in the bigger impact, there are a lot of objects that already exist on the earth that we could take advantage of if we want to fill our homes.
Right, exactly. So we will discuss that Oxfam report on another show because I think it is so important. We do have an email, and this email is for you, Stefan, and anyone who's got old letters and photos and are not sure what to do with them, from Chris. Chris Carlson, foundsf.org is a living archive of the city's history. Old letters and photos are extremely interesting. Please contact us at shaping It's shaping@foundsf.org to discuss adding your family's history to our archive, shaping@foundsf.org. Thank you so much, Chris. Great to hear from you. And if you have any other tips like Chris for how to get rid of important mementos or just how to get rid of stuff, I've gone through it and I have a lot of suggestions. So we'll share those before we end the show. Since Judy brought up hoarding, I do want to play a clip from your film and then we can talk about it. And in this clip, we are going to meet Milfi Howell, who is a client of Kathleen, the organizer in the documentary. Milfi, in this clip, just picture this. Milfi is in her home, which is filled with so much stuff. And when you look around, there's really no space. So here is Milfi Howell.
I have acquired too many things to live comfortably. Things I have really impede my day-to-day living and being able to live a calm life, an eventful life, because they're always getting into my way. This is the kitchen. There's not much storage space. I collect a lot of kitchen stuff. I used to love to cook and hold dinner parties, but obviously this is really preventing me from doing so, and I would really like to be able to do it again. If I had a bigger house, I definitely feel I would have less clutter. I have some trouble getting rid of things because it's the process. I have to put it in the car. I have to take it somewhere. I have to decide where it's going. I wouldn't classify myself as a hoarder. I'm more of a person that has a clutter disorder. But I'm not a hoarder.
That is Milfi Howell, who is working with an organizer. We meet Milfi in the documentary, Do I Need This? It asks a really important question about how much stuff we need, what is this stuff doing to our overall well-being, and why do we have such a connection to so much stuff? We're talking today with Kate Skirmerhorn, an Emmy-winning director who's director of the film Do I Need This?, opening night film at the Green Film Fest of San Francisco, screening tomorrow night at the Roxy at 8 p.m. You can also watch the film online during the festival. Find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. Kate, your overall comments about meeting Milfi, and just to add one question from a listener who writes, do you have advice for someone who sees themselves on that slippery slope of holding on to way too much?
Well, my first piece of advice for that caller would be to get the book that Randy Frost wrote. It's called Stuff, Compulsive Hoarding. We interview him in the book, and he just, it's a very insightful book on what drives us to hoard and just the experience that people have with hoarding. I really recommend it. But Milfi Howell, she lived in Berkeley. Her house was just completely full of stuff. I mean, there was a little path that could get you from room to room, but her stuff was really impacting her life. She actually died a couple of years ago after we shot the film, and before she died, her brother helped her to clear out her house. And I guess she always wanted to have dinner parties, and she used to have a very social life, but with her house so full, she couldn't. So before she died, they cleared out her house, and she was just overjoyed to have a huge party and see all the people she loved. Her things impacted her, on a daily basis. She didn't want to go out of town because she didn't want anybody to come and see the house, and take care of her cats and things like that. Like, she didn't want anybody to come in and change a light bulb for her because there was a lot of shame there.
Mm. Wow. Do you know what happened to all of her stuff?
I don't actually. I mean, a lot of it was stuff that probably she just hadn't had time to go through with. I mean, there was a lot of mail and clothes that probably just got, you know, ended up in a landfill, I imagine.
Wow. Well, that's why I ask, because my dad's friend recently cleared out her parents' home and said she called the 800 got junk. And I thought, what do they do with all of it? Because it's devastating to think that they might pick it up and then just dump it in a landfill. I mean, if we can talk a little bit about this, Kate, you know, I got rid of a lot of stuff recently, helping a loved one get rid of stuff. It does take time, but it really is worth it. You can join a buy nothing group in your area. And I would post all kinds of things, like old, you know, jewelry from 20 years ago that I don't wear anymore, or an old microwave and an old photo frame and a plant that was dying, like a huge plant. And people wanted all of it. You just have to spend the time to set up the time, have them come over. So there's that. And then, of course, there's a lot of ways to get rid of things, like St. Anthony's in San Francisco. We just got an email from a listener who said, I just returned from dropping off a large box of stuff to the local senior center for their monthly rummage sale. So what are your thoughts on that? Just not throwing things in the garbage, but trying to make sure that they are used again.
Yeah, I do try not to put my used things in the garbage, and I usually give them away, or, you know, put them on next door or places, you know, for things that are free, because even if you give to like Goodwill and stuff, the majority of that stuff doesn't get resold. It just ends up in the landfill too, or it's not getting passed on as well as something that you give directly to a person who you know needs it, you know, by posting about that particular item.
Exactly. I went to a Goodwill recently and they had like hundreds of boxes in their warehouse, huge boxes. I said, what is all that? And they said, stuff that we haven't had time to go through. People give us so much crap and we have no choice but to throw it away. Another option is, in a lot of cities, there are these secondhand stores that donate a lot of the money to an organization. So again, this does take a little bit of time and research, but really it is so worth it, because just knowing that all the stuff that I didn't want anymore is being used, it just feels better than knowing it's just sitting in a warehouse somewhere, or even worse, sitting in the landfill. So if anyone else has any tips on how to get rid of things, we could probably do another entire show about that, but it's just important.
Yeah. One of the things that my parents did when they were moving, they had a giveaway party where they put all of their belongings, you know, outside, and nobody was allowed to leave the party without taking home a book or a piece of art or whatever it was. But it does feel nice to give your things to, you know, someone who will appreciate them and use them over time.
Yeah, that was also a great part of the film. We have a question from Connor, who says, do you know how much actual acreage of land and real estate is dedicated to private storage? How much land do we use for people's stuff?
I do have that statistic, but it's under a pile of papers right here. And if he gives it, here it is, 1.8 billion square feet of rentable storage space in the United States.
1.8 billion?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. When you think about all the housing that we need, what we can do with that space. Oh my gosh, that's an incredible statistic. Thank you so much.
And the most expensive per square foot storage in the country is actually in San Francisco. In 2019, it was $199 a square foot. And it's anticipated to be a $115 billion business by the year 2025.
Ah, That is absolutely amazing. I mean, that just goes to the point that Juliet Shore makes in the film, an economist and sociologist at Boston College. She says the volume of goods that Americans are buying is unprecedented. As we've moved to a global system, manufactured goods are really cheap. So it's a hyper-consumerist period that we're in. Did Juliet share with you, what is it going to take to stop this, to try to encourage people to just stop buying things that they don't need?
Yeah, I think we all just need to, I mean, I know I do, and I assume other people need to just slow down, you know, take some time before we bring new things into our homes, realize that each of those things is going to impact our lives and eventually going to have to go out again. So once something enters your home, you know, in my case, it felt like once something entered my home, it never left. And when I started to think about that, I really slowed down what I brought into my house. And in fact, we've made little cards for people to use, you know, to put in your wallet and ask yourself some questions like, first of all, do I need this? Or do I have something similar like that to this? Can I walk around the block and, you know, after 15 minutes, do I still want it? So people can actually write to me on my website, doineedthis.org, and I can send them a digital copy of this card. But it's a useful tool. People who've used it told me they really do, like, you know, spend time thinking before they buy. So just slowing down, that's one of my biggest goals with this film, is to have people just slow down and be more conscious about what they do buy and bring into their homes.
It's such a great message. And also just think about, one of the callers who couldn't stand the air said, where does all this stuff go? And as the artists Judith Selby Lang and Richard Lang told you, there is no away. You throw it away, there is no away. And they make art out of all of the stuff they find. We follow them on a beach. They find shampoo bottles, toothbrushes, you name it. The little plastic things that are on the tags of our clothing. So much of this stuff they find at the beach. And so there's no throwing things away. It goes somewhere.
Yeah, I think when I first started this film, one of my motivations was I had this vision, like I told you earlier, that I would buy these useless objects. And but then not just did I think about what would happen when they were in other people's homes, I started imagining the world just once humans have destroyed ourselves and the planet just covered with all of these useless things, these hot dog cookers, those old shoes, the, you know, just all the junk, and the planet just covered with it. And I imagine sort of Barbies living among, you know, in this pile of junk. I think that was the first real motivator for making the film.
Oh my gosh. That is an amazing visual. Well, let's take a couple more calls, and we have so many emails. I'll try to get to as many as we can in the next few minutes. So if you can both be brief, we'd appreciate it. Ruth in Berkeley. Hi, Ruth. Do we have Ruth?
And when I look at them, they're from some of them are from a very long time ago, and they look vintage. And I think that I'm going to contact some of the stage companies around here and see if they want to use them as props on stage sets.
That is a great tip. So Ruth was saying that she's got some vintage stuff, and what theaters want these things as props. Great idea, Ruth. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next caller, Victoria in San Francisco. Hi, Victoria.
Hi. Thank you for this fascinating show. I wanted to ask a question because I'm doing a film about obsessive collectors. And I'm just curious if there's a distinction between collections that take over someone's lives and hoarding.
Well, thank you. Kate, you actually interviewed a collector in your film.
Yeah, I have two collectors. And again, I'm going to refer you to Randy Frost's book, Stuff, because he talks about the difference between hoarding and collecting. Collectors have a methodical, there's usually a theme to the collection, and it's organized in the home. It's not impacting your ability to live.
Well, thank you for that call. We have a couple or other tips. Robert says the easiest way to get rid of stuff adopted increasingly during the pandemic is put it out on the curb. Voila, gone. Thank you for that, Robert. Just make sure and check on it. And it's not a lot of stuff because then other people throw things on it and then it can turn into a trash pile. But that is also very effective, especially in cities, major cities. Lori says many cities have buy nothing Facebook groups. The East Bay has a buy nothing East Bay. People post about stuff they're getting rid of and about things they need. Yes, that works. And I also met so many great people during that process. Again, Kate, it does take some time because you have to post, you have to set up a time, you have to meet them. But in the end, it really is worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels so much better, a buy nothing group. There are so many buy nothing groups, and I highly recommend using them.
We have another listener who wanted to know about the organization taking letters and photos in San Francisco. It's foundsf.org, foundsf.org. Kate, final thoughts. I we could spend the whole hour really just talking about your experience with your parents and just watching what happened when they had to downsize, watching your mom struggle with dementia. I mean, all of this is so connected. Right? I mean, what are your thoughts just in terms of the process and when you watch the film again, what really stands out to you the most?
Well, I'd say that the takeaway that I had making this film and going through the process that I did with my parents and suffering some loss along the way while I was making the film is really like ultimately, you know, our stuff, well, my parents thinks I have a lot, they bring me memories and my, you know, I value them. It's really the experiences and filling up our lives, like my father said, with a sense of wonder. And his advice was always, you know, when in doubt, do. So really living rather than accumulating, I guess, is the end message for me.
Kate Skirmerhorn is an Emmy-winning director and still photographer. She directed and stars in Do I Need This?, a really important documentary about what all this stuff is doing to our overall well-being, why are we connected to so much stuff, and what can we do to really experience life more rather than hold on to things. And you can see Do I Need This? It's the opening night film at the Green Film Fest tomorrow night at the Roxy in San Francisco at 8. You can also watch the film online during the festival. It runs through April 24th. Kate, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for making this important film.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. Thanks to all of you for your great emails and phone calls. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.